I want you to turn back in your Bibles to what we'll be dealing with, a selection of verses, but if you will, you can start in Psalm 139. I know we read the closing verses of the book of Ruth, and I did that just so that you can set your eyes upon an account that our women's theology class has been engaging in now for this semester. And so you really cannot know the joy of Naomi and Ruth, as is described in the fourth chapter, until you understand something of the troubles they went through. In fact, you can't understand anyone's joy thoroughly unless you understand some of the troubles they go through. Joy is the product of overcoming troubles and landing safely in the hands of a God who got you through that trouble. That's the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness are things that occur in your life that often are happenstance, and they may be events that out of the accomplishments of your own hands, you have achieved some goals, and so you feel good about that. There's nothing wrong with happiness at all, but do not mistake happiness for joy. Joy is always the byproduct of overcoming trouble. Remember that now. When you meet a person that's happy, a happy person is different than a joyful person. A joyful person is always someone who is exhibiting a fullness of delight and thanksgiving because God has delivered them out of some troubles. And that's the case in chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, which is not where we're going to develop it. I would encourage you, if you haven't ever gone through the book of Ruth, to get our whole women's series around it. You will learn a lot about a faithful God who takes his people through troubles that we enter into because of our own misdoing. And he still brings us through on the other side because of his faithfulness to himself. And so we've got two sisters here in our account that are rejoicing in the fact that God has brought them through some real difficulty. One of the things I stated as well to our sisters in our going through the book of Ruth, we're dealing with biblical theology, and this will help you, as today's message is about mothers and women in general, but mothers, because only women can be mothers. Properly speaking, I'm going to get that right now before we find ourselves launching into the very debatable confusion that's wreaking havoc in our culture. Only women can be mothers. And what I told our sisters when we first started our series in the book of Ruth is God made you. He formed you women. He structured you women to endure trouble. This is where we're going to launch our thoughts today. That women are designed to endure trouble. It's the place where God uses you best and uses you most in trouble. And in the context of trouble, your difficulties become a platform for God's glory. So I'm going to say that again just in case you're far, far, far from the peaceful shore of gospel terminology. Because a lot of you may, you know, right now the pancakes are setting in and the French toast. And I know I only got about 40 minutes before you're going to disappear. I know that. I understand that. But I'm going to do my best to lay down some principles about motherhood. And I hope you can comprehend the gospel in it. Motherhood, as a consequence of being a woman, is, again, a calling to suffering. It's a calling to suffering, and suffering for you becomes a platform for God's glory. I'm going to see if I can make that good in a moment, but for you young daughters that are aspiring to motherhood, what you're trying to get to, you're trying to achieve your PhD in suffering now. I want you to understand that, because mothers go through trouble. And the analogy that we have been made to work with in the book of Ruth is the analogy of the harvest, because Bethlehem is the house of bread. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the seed. He's the seed of which the whole Bible speaks about. You know that, right? We are all seeds. Either we're godly seeds or ungodly seeds. You guys make sure the AC is working in here, okay, because, you know, menopause is setting in and I can see the fanning going on. We are all seeds. We're all seeds. And we are the byproduct of the collaborative effort of the man and the woman. And God has purposed that the human race constantly proliferate along the line of seed time and harvest, the production of families, the fruitfulness and joy that comes along with families. So the fourth chapter of Ruth is about two women who come out of dire straits of losing everything, losing husbands, losing land, losing property, losing money, losing a system of themselves. Who is Naomi? We've talked about that before. Naomi is a recovering pessimist. Y'all know anything about that? Who allowed her identity to be swallowed up by her circumstances so much so that she changed her name from pleasant to bitterness. Have you been there? And that's what we mean by trouble. By trouble. But in the fourth chapter, she's re-owning her name Pleasant because she's the most blessed woman in the city. We do believe that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, right? People of faith know that the end of the matter is going to be to the glory of God and our eternal good. Although for a season, if we need to, we're going through trouble. Mothers are meant to go through trouble. You're meant and designed for trouble. And as I was speaking to the analogy of the seed, someone has to sow the seed. Isn't that true? And generally, as a rule, this is not an absolute, but it's a principle. The men go out and sow the seed into the ground. Do they not? The Son of Man is the sower. The seed is the word of God. But the seed being the word of God is reflective in all of culture, all of life, all of commerce, all of business, all of education. We are sowing seeds when we are seeking to reap a harvest of anything. Is that not so? And men have been typically known to go out to sow the seed. But who are the women? The women are the soil into which the seed is sown. The women are the soil into which the seed is sown. I know you never thought about that before, but it's true. So I want you to think about this. Which one is easier, to sow the seed or to receive the seed and deal with the seed's germination process? Which one is more challenging and difficult, to go out there and to sow the seed? Just cast abroad the seed. You free to sow seed. That's what men do, sow seed. Right? Are you hearing me? We say we can do it good too. We can sow that seed good. But it's the woman who has to receive that seed, accept that seed, allow that seed to germinate. It has to break down, die, take on a whole metabolic change. It has to take root downward and then spring forth fruit upward. And do you understand that the dynamic taking place in the soil with the seed breaking down constitutes trouble? If you could hear the soil, if it could become personified when the seed hits it and starts going through the death process, the soil would be crying because of the challenge that's taking place in the process of the seed being sown. Are you guys hearing me? Women are like soil that receives the seed. They have to endure difficulties. They have to endure troubles, but they get the blessing of being the vehicle by which the fruit comes out of it. That's a good analogy, isn't it? That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy. And this is why Eve is called the mother of all living. She's the mother of all living. And so who and what are mothers? This is beginning to work on our first point. What are mothers? They are sisters. They are aunts. They are wives. They are girlfriends. They are grandmothers. They are great-grandmothers, etc. The mother plays multiple roles of relationships, does she not? Multiple roles of relationships. And even in that analogy of the multiple roles of relationships, she's like a kaleidoscope. She has to meet people's needs everywhere. This is why personally I love celebrating during the time of worship specifics like, we're not at our first point yet, specifics like Mother's Day and Father's Day and Christmas and Resurrection Sunday. I love it because I see the wisdom of God. Let me see if I can make this good to you too. In our present culture, the goal of the enemy is to destroy everything that's good. His goal is to destroy everything that God set up. His goal is. And when we are ignorant of the will of God, we participate in the destruction process of it all. 50 years ago, this church would have been packed all the way up to the steps with families. With families! Because they would have understood how important it is to honor their mothers. But the enemy has gotten in and broken down the family so bad that come Mother's Day or Father's Day, anniversaries like that, we're a little embarrassed. Because the family structure is so tore up. Am I making some sense? And it's the job of the church. It's the job of the church to maintain a biblical worldview and teach our children what's important to God, not what's important to the culture, and not what's important to us, what's important to God. And one of the roles of moms is to sustain that tradition, to sustain that biblical worldview. One of the roles of dads is to sustain that tradition, reinforce that worldview so that we don't look like the world. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's all over, if the world has its way, there will be no families. No families. We would be a monstrosity of human ingenuity that has no reflection of the glory of God that he intended when he created man and woman. In the beginning, God created him male and female. In the image of God created he them. And he said, let's make them in our image and in our likeness that they might glorify us in the earth. In the proliferation of seed, that is children and families, and having dominion over the world as they walk in love, walk in communion, walk in subordination to one another, being able to cooperate and reciprocate and do all of the things that a loving communion is called to do. Am I making some sense? See, only the biblical model reaffirms and reaffirms this paradigm. And your job and mine, Christian, is to live up to that model, particularly whatever office you are called to. The young men, they are called to an office, as we'll see next month when we deal with Father's Day. They're called to aspire to being strong young men that are capable of taking on and perpetuating the model of family. And therefore, they are to interact with women wisely and appropriately. And in a gracious fashion so that they can have a complementary relationship and produce the outcome that God wants to when the seed is sown into their lives. And so for us, mothers carry multiple hats, as do men. I love Father's Day. I'll be right back at it again next month. I love propping up my men. In this culture, we need to prop our men up. Is that true? Our brothers need to be propped up, not tore down, not neglected, not abused. Propped up, but our sisters do too. And definitely we need to give high honor to our women, particularly those of you who are sitting by your wives today. I want you to be a little bit embarrassed, fellas. Don't look at your wife right now. I want you to be a little bit embarrassed because you probably have not honored them like you should have. This is just between me and you, fellas, not them. But they deserve it. They deserve it for a lot of reasons. One of the biggest ones is they married you. But, no, I'm just telling you the truth. They married you. That's huge. It's huge. Women cannot be wimps. Point number one. Mothers are amazing creatures. One of my sisters said, amen. When I received that first point from the Lord, I said to myself, now, Jess, what do you mean by an amazing creature? That's almost oxymoronic. It carries with it a little bit of sci-fi connotations. An amazing creature. The term creature can be a good euphemism. It can be other things. But I want you to know that in God's book, the term creature means the direct product of his handiwork. And mothers are the direct product of the handiwork of God. They are amazing, amazing, amazing creatures. And as I think about it, Psalm 139, verse 14, part A says this. You've heard it before, but I'm just going to lift up one line out of this just to meditate on it. Psalm 139, 14, as David thinks about God's goodness in his life, he says, I will praise thee, for I am what? Fearfully? Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. You guys are fearful, too. And wonderfully made. Do you see that? Wonderfully made. Now, let me just lift that word wonderful up out of the text for a moment, because women are wonderful. The word wonderful there is a very unique term because the term literally means to be distinguished, to be distinct. It means to be separate and unique. Now watch this. What David was saying is, you have made me distinct. You have made me unique. You have actually separated me from the West, from the rest, and I am one of a kind. That's what the term means. So stay with me for a second if you're not asleep yet. Women are one of a kind. They are unique. They are distinct. They are prodigious. The calling of a mother, particularly, is very unique. Very unique. It is a major design on God's part for the sustaining of all life. A major design on God's part for the sustaining of all life. And it's a subject in its own right worthy of full investigation. A mother is a unique thing. She is wonderful. Most of us as sons can easily let fall off of our lips concerning our mothers. Man, my mother's wonderful. And especially when we think about all that they have done to take care of us and raise us up. And all of the things that they've had to endure to deal with us and all of the things surrounding us. I'll talk about that in a little bit here. But when we talk about mothers being amazing creatures, it's because God separated them and raised them up to a level and given them a prescription of life called motherhood that by analogy. Now, I want you to get this. This is an analogy I'm going to drop. This is an analogy. The mother is almost like a utility knife. The man said, yep. Yep. Now watch this. I know it's not romantic, but we're not talking about our wives today. We're talking about our mothers. So I'm not getting romantic, okay? Like a utility knife. You know, a utility knife has multiple applications, doesn't it? It can pull off it can cork the screw on a bottle. It can cut things up, dice things. It can unscrew things, right? You got screwdrivers on it, Phillips and flatheads. And a mother is a utility knife, a multi-purpose, faceted creature that can do a bunch of things. Is that true, ladies? A bunch of things. You guys are skillful at that. So I like the analogy of the utility knife, because they can cut you too, see? So they can defend you. After they cook the food and provide for you, they can defend you. And they can keep the husband in the place. Now, isn't that interesting, too, when the husband go to fussing with his wife, how while she's cooking, she can threaten him with the skillet and the spatula and the knife, and he get the backing up? It's a strange relationship, isn't it? Every creature that God makes, he gives them the ability to survive, adapt, and also protect himself. And I'm going to show you in a minute as we get to our further points that moms are not to be played with. That's been my experience. They're just not to be played with because they're utility knives. I keep a couple of utility knives. I don't know about you, but I do. Couple in my car nearby. Good thing to have. I got one, been with her for 37 years. Good thing to have. Point number one under the first point of mothers are amazing creatures. They are an arsenal of wisdom and blessing when found in the way of the Lord. They are an arsenal of wisdom and blessing when found in the way of the Lord. I will not talk long about what it means to be outside of Christ. We can argue, and you won't get an argument out of me, that there are many mothers who did not know the Lord Jesus who nevertheless were a great blessing to their families. I understand that. But boy, I'll tell you, apart from Christ, we can mess it up. Apart from Christ, we can mess it up. And apart from Christ, we can really diminish the glorious calling of motherhood, fatherhood, whatever the case may be. But how much of a blessing it is when a mother understands the God who made her and gave her her calling and who draws from his strength to do what she's called to do. She's an amazing blessing. And mothers, right now you may be in a mode or a situation right now where your children are not giving you the props like they ought to. Just hold on. They will. Just hold on. They will. Because the trouble is coming to them at a level where they're going to be forced to reflect upon, did my mama have to go through all this in order for me to have what I have? And then they're going to realize that what Pastor just stated was true. They are amazing creatures, and they are worthy of at least one day out of 365 to be honored. So some of you need to be calling your mothers today. texting your mothers today, visiting your mothers today, because they are glorious, glorious creatures. And so the second thing I want to call your attention to is that they are image bearers of God's glory. Image bearers of God's glory. Do you see point number two? I won't be here long, but it's important. This is true not only in the prophetic sense of what God has ordained by way of his prognosticating the creation of men and women, and thus telling them that they are very much to be image bearers of God. But as you see the analogy, my secretary who pulls up these images and PowerPoints, aren't they great? Aren't these PowerPoints illustrative? They do a great job. She's a mother too. So when I give her PowerPoints relative to her calling, she can go straight to work. But I want you to mark, my secretary got the point even before I actually told her how I was developing this proposition. What do I mean? Image bearers of God's glory are not only what you look like, ladies. You are beautiful in your own right, and you are glorious in terms of your existential beauty. God made you that way. That's the only way you can get a brother. You hear me? And was meant that way. Y'all know that. You know. We're talking about all of the internal benefits and all that, but it all started from the outside. You know that, right? That's why when God made Adam, he brought Eve to Adam, and when the brother woke up, he was glad at what he saw. Because God knows man, right? And the relationship part is where you penetrate past the flesh and get into the person and find connectivity there. And then you see the true beauty of the character and the complementarian relationship that we have to develop and build among ourselves. Is that true? But it definitely starts with the eyesight. And so God made you women to be naturally attractive, and we are so thankful for that. But what we mean by image bearers, ladies, is you see that big old fat belly that girl got? You guys are image bearers of the glory of God by God's right. By God's right. And that thing that comes through the whole process is filled with trouble. It's filled with trouble. I'll talk about that in a second. It's important for you to know that you are image bearers of God's glory, and therefore you are equal in dignity, in standing, and in destiny with any and every man on planet Earth. You need to know that. You are equal in dignity, standing, and destiny. You guys got that? Now, our daughters need to know that, because in our present culture, they struggle with maintaining their identity. Are you hearing me? Right now, we're developing a young women's class as we have developed a young men's class. And we're working on foundational principles for that so that we can help our daughters maintain a biblical identity. Because without a biblical identity, you struggle enormously with your value. But God has already decreed that you are equal in your dignity, in your standing, and in your destiny. It's simply a matter of you acknowledging it and walking in all of the blessings that are yours in Christ. But the conception part and the bringing forth part is that part which is always amazing to me, because it brings us to our third point. Now watch how parallel point number two is to point number three, and you'll see it. Are you ready? Women are a conduit of the what? Yes, they are. You see that? They're a conduit of the mystery. It's almost like what I said in point two, right? Image bearers of God's glory. But now more so, conduits of the mystery. Conduits of what mystery? The mystery of what I started earlier about the seed and how God made you for trouble. And I want you to get this. I think about the post dynamics of my raising children frequently now, because I'm in grandpapa stage, and I love it. I love grandpapa stage. I wouldn't want to go back to having children stage for nothing. Not at this age, because the energy level is not that high. It's just high enough to hug them, play with them, send them home. You understand what I'm saying, right? And I mean, I love playing with my grandkids. I mean, I love them to death. I will mess around and spoil them if you don't back me up off of them, because grandchildren are precious, as are grandparents to grandchildren. This is the one thing I knew about my grandparents. as I spent time with them growing up. In my own eyes, my grandparents were uniquely a blessing to me. Every second I got with my grandparents was like just rich with me. Because you know, children are little computers with programs that are empty. They can't wait to fill it up with data, right? So they're examining everything about grandma and grandpa. How you look, how you act, how you talk, what you do. We steal it all and put it in our files, don't we? Because you're precious to us. Because we have a sense that we're not going to have you as long as we're going to have mama. And so those times with grandparents are absolutely phenomenal. And for some of you in the house, when I talk about grandparents, I'm talking about your mother. Your mother. And so sometimes the direct relationship between daughters and mothers or sons and mothers don't have that level of appreciation that the grandchildren do. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And yet we are supposed to appreciate the totality of motherhood because, ladies, it is filled with challenges. But that's the way God is glorified. So what's the promises of God around this, a conduit of his mystery? In Genesis 3:15, God had told the first woman, Eve, that her seed was going to crush the head of the serpent. And the serpent was going to bruise the heel of her seed. And that seed would be that thing in her womb that she would carry and bring to fruition and nurture and raise up and have to watch him die. Now watch this. Let alone the difficulties that women go through just being in the world. Ladies, can you bear record? Having babies, I'm talking about conceiving them. There might be about 5 minutes of pleasure in conceiving them. After that, it's trouble. The hormones change. And then life takes on a whole new metamorphosis, right? For some of y'all, you really don't like it because you get ugly in your own eyes. You gain weight and things start happening in your body and you really don't like this metamorphosis. But that's what God has designed to bring forth the glory of the child. That whole inner experience that you go through is designed to teach you that God made you for trouble. He made your physical anatomy for the trouble of bearing a child for 9 months and then pushing that big old head. Yeah, some of us got big watermelon heads. We were born with big old heads. It was just a miracle to get that big old head through that little hole. With my first child, she's here, I ain't gonna point at her. I almost fainted. I was in the hospital. I almost fainted. Lord, how do you do that? And here we are, room full of people, 600 people. Something like that happened to you. Women, and you know what's crazy about that? Just the deliverance. See, you couldn't persuade me to have a baby for nothing in the world. Nothing. And then what's a mystery about a woman? If she'll turn around 6 months later and say, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. The hormones will do that. Let's get in trouble again. Let's go through the misery again. Let's go through morning sickness again. And don't let's talk about what's going on between when she starts dilating and going to the hospital. They different. You know that, right? So when I say trouble, you were made for it. Because there's a dynamic of suffering and blessing, trouble and triumph. That's the cycle of life. And therefore, women are amazing creatures because they are image bearers of God's glory. God had called Eve to that. He had called his daughters to that all through the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. What God promises, and this is not a means of your salvation, it is an emblem and symbol of the salvation of women when the scripture says, and the woman shall be saved in childbearing. Look at verse 12. She shall be saved in childbearing. I'm sorry. Deb. Verse 14 and 15. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a transgression. Verse 15. Here it is. Notwithstanding, she shall be what? Saved in childbearing. Stop right there. Now, that does not mean to be saved in the sense of redemption from your sins or walk with God. It means to be preserved. that God decreed in the beginning that he would preserve women, preserve you for the purpose of proliferation, and specifically the godly woman. There's an appointment for all women to be mothers in that God has mandated proliferation of the seed. And in that, he protects them. That's an amazing experience all along. But it's exponentially increased when you know God. When you know God, he anoints it. When you know God, he consecrates it. When you know God, he can take the life of that woman and that child and use it in ways that are absolutely remarkable. Am I making some sense? And so you see the legacy of it in the scriptures, right? So God had promised Eve, and then God protected Sarah, and then God prepared Mary, and God perfected the whole of his plan through the church. All of those are women. All of those are women. He promised Eve. He protected Sarah. You remember Sarah, Abraham's wife? Remember when Abraham went crazy to sell her off to the king? And the king was about to take her to be his wife? And God said to the king, boy, I'll kill you and the whole tribe if you touch that woman. You guys remember that? I will wipe your whole tribe out. In fact, right now, do a census through the kingdom. I have already shut the womb of every woman in the kingdom. Your whole nation will be dead in 10 years. How important was Sarah to God? The seed. The seed. The seed. Are you hearing me? The seed. God would destroy a whole nation for Sarah. He protected her, didn't he? And then he prepared that little virgin girl named Mary. He prepared that little virgin girl named Mary to have to endure trouble. Are you hearing me? Mary signed up for trouble the day the angel told her, girl, you're pregnant. Didn't she? See, at that point, Mary had to ask the question, am I on God's team or on the world's team? Because what's happening to me is going to require me to believe God. Listen, conception is a great analogy of God working salvation in the world. The bringing forth of children honors the Lord. All the fruit of the womb is the Lord. All of it. All the souls are God's. I want you to hear this. Every soul is God's soul. And so this process of bringing forth children, ladies, we are to never, ever, ever play it down. If they continue in faith, charity, and holiness, and sobriety, they become a marked symbol of God's tool to bring forth his glory in the life of his children. This, again, ought to raise your level of respect for your mothers, because they got to go through trouble. Did Mary go through trouble? Nobody believed she was a child of the Holy Ghost. She had to go around listening to all the slander. Joseph had to put up with it, but Mary really had to put up with it. What did she do to offset the slander? She believed God. This is why we honor mothers today, because they've gone through so much trouble. You and I, men, are sitting here happy in our male status of security and comfort and autonomy. Are we not? I'm glad to be a man. And I don't say that in any negative way. I got 6 daughters. Most of them are here right now. So they would jack me up at the house today if I came off the wrong way with them. They know how to corner a brother. They've been cornering me for a long time. And they'll let me have it with all cannons. So I'm simply saying I'm glad to be a brother. I'm glad to be a brother, but I wouldn't be a brother without a mother. I wouldn't be a brother without a mother. That's all I'm saying. That's all we're saying. We wouldn't be free to be the fools we are if it wasn't for our mothers. And therefore, not only are mothers amazing creatures, not only are they image bearers of God's glory, not only are they conduits of the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Many of our daughters right now who are married and walking with the Lord and have been engaged in the challenges of matrimony. Some of you may not know it. You and your husband have labored and you thought you wanted to have babies and nothing happened. Some of you may be pregnant right now. If that's the case, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is an emblem there. Are you hearing me? It's an emblem. And it requires you as a woman to embrace all of biblical truth, all of redemptive truth, to affirm your dignity as a woman in that thing called being pregnant. Because the world actually does not care for you being pregnant in the traditional sense. It doesn't care for you being pregnant because you have said I do to a man. It doesn't care for you being pregnant because you have said I do to traditional marriage. The world doesn't mind you going out and getting a Petri dish or getting a sperm donor and having as many babies as you want like the rebellious women do. I'm going to have children, but I'm not going to be married, right? Now, God knows how to work with that, but that doesn't honor God. You do understand that, right? Because it violates the larger redemptive picture that God is teaching. And so what I am stating is that you guys are the conduits of mystery, and you are a vessel of life and happiness. Is that true? Women are a vessel of life and happiness. For 37 years, my home has been largely a happy home. See, I use that word largely, right? Because we have troubles. But it's been largely a happy home, and it's been because we have prioritized raising children. I was talking with a couple, as I often do. I talked with a young man last night. Him and his wife are raising children, and they're also talking about both of them acquiring vocations. That's a challenge. It can be done. I told him it can be done. You can be a person in the a field of work that you do. She can as well. But you guys are going to have to really work on harmony and unity to be able to do that and raise children too. Because children truly is a full-time job, is it not? It's a full-time job. And if I were to isolate the mothers from the children, from the husband, and just talk to the mothers, you have adopted or caused yourself to trouble just raising children. Isn't that right? A lot of the gray hairs in your head, ladies, is the consequence of those children. Now, if it's in the Lord, it's all good. God says, gray hair is beautiful in the Lord. And ain't nothing like dye. Ain't nothing like dye. Y'all can roll it back if you want to. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm just saying, gray hair is beautiful when it's found in the way of the Lord. And those of us who are children of parents, and we see our parents aging and growing grayer, but God has allowed them to still stay in our life and hasn't changed the pattern since our youth. We need to be thanking God every day for that. We need to be thanking God every day for the normalcy, because a lot of our friends don't have their parents. Is that true? Their parents are gone. So we need to be thanking God for that and remembering what they went through. Let me see if I can talk about that now a little bit. Point number four. What are mothers? Not only are they amazing creatures, image bearers of God's glory, conduits of the mystery, but they are tough, tender, torn, troubled, and tried. That's a sermon all in itself. Tough. Young men and women who are the products of mothers. By the time you're 12, 13 years old, young man, you're going to discover that your mama is tough. She's tough. Do you understand that? Your mama not a wimp. You know how your head get twisted on backwards about 11, 12 years old? And just because your testosterone levels are rising a little bit, you just started thinking, because you looked at you a little taller than your mama now at 13, a little taller than your mama, and you started thinking she was a wimp. Brothers, nothing could be further from the truth. Now, in a minute, I'm going to prove that by an example here in a second. But what I tell mothers all the time is, don't let your boys intimidate you, because they haven't been what you've been through. They couldn't handle your troubles if they wanted to. The challenges that you had to engage in and endure as a utility knife for their sake, keeping a roof over their head and food in their belly and clothes on their back and a comfortable home and all of the amenities of life that you have to negotiate for them. That's called being tough. They don't know nothing like about that. They go out and work 3 or 4 days, and if their boss looks at them sideways, they quit. Am I telling the truth? They quit. If we would talk to you about what our mothers have had to endure to keep the job, to keep food on the table for you guys, you would know that they are as tough as forged steel. Forged steel. I mean that with every bit in me. They're tough, but they're also tender. That's where they'll fool you at, because they're tender. That's the attention between what a mother is and is not. She's tender, but she's not a wimp. And she is especially tender to her children. They're tender to us. Maybe every now and then a mother may be rough Fathers are generally more guilty of being rough with the kids than mothers. Mothers can be so tender that they can fool us. But remember now, tender does not mean tepid or timid or weak. You can be tender and tough at the same time. Is that true? And so our mothers are tender, they're tough, they're tender, but they're torn. They're torn. Yes, they are. Because mothers have to live with things not being right all the time. They're torn. And they have to wear it well. They still have to put their makeup on. Still have to go get their high heels. And still have to dress right. And still have to smile. But torn. Mothers are always torn. Men are torn, but nowhere near like mama. Mama's torn because everybody doing it wrong. In the house. Everybody doing it wrong. From the husband on down to the children. We all doing it wrong. And mama's smiling and trying to work with it. Torn. That's true. That's true. You better get it. Torn. See, that's why they can endure those jobs, because the job is nothing compared to home. When they have to come in and deal with their slow boys and silly daughters. Slow boys. I know y'all don't see it, but I know you think your boys are retarded sometimes. I know that. I know that. I know, because boys are slow. And you go, Lord, I wonder if he got a problem. I'm just talking out loud a little bit. I'm just talking out. I'm just talking out loud a little bit. Because I watch my wife, and censorship on the part of a woman means that they have reflected upon it, cogitated on it, and thought it through at length, and they have concluded it's best not to say anything. It's best not to say anything. And I mean, they'll hold their tongue forever, watching to see how we turn out. Because they love you. But they know you got problems. The man. So young men are slow, and daughters are often silly, and that tears them apart too. Because they really want their daughters to be prudent and discerning and making right choices. And they frequently don't. And that's where the gray hairs come in at. And therefore, they are troubled. But there's some insights into that torn and troubled, because privately, especially when they're godly women, they spend a lot of time with God. Because of those two T's, torn and troubled. Privately, they spend a lot of time talking to God. Is that true? Praying to God. Because, you know, the woman was deceived into having them. And once they got here, she didn't know that she had signed up for all this. And then as they started growing, she realizes that she really does need God. And there comes a time in raising children. I sound like I'm a woman, huh? Like I know, huh? I don't know. I'm vicariously working through what my wife went through, what my mama went through, okay? I'm just putting together. I'm like the person that helped you write the book, but I didn't go through your story, okay? So all my job is putting the pieces together. I have observed, okay, that women go through this. And I have discovered that what they do is go to God constantly about the needs of their family, because they realize that personally it's too big for them. It's too big for them. And so it forces them into communion with their maker. They are tough, tender, torn, troubled, and they are what? Tried. But give her a chance and she will show you she can handle all that God puts in front of her. The woman can handle all that God puts in front of her. It's amazing if you just do history, I'm talking about secular history, and you think about what women have had to endure in secular history. It's amazing what they've gone through. It's amazing what they've endured. It's amazing what they sacrifice. It's amazing what they put up with, and they're still here. They're still standing. They're still standing. That's our next point. They're still standing. They are torn. They are troubled. They are tried. They are tough. Point number five. They are what? Strong. Now, this is going to get us for a moment into Proverbs 31, which is called the proverb of the virtuous woman. Now, I want you to stay at the PowerPoint for a minute. Now, I would encourage every mother, every grandmother, every daughter, every aspiring wife to read through Proverbs 31, particularly starting at verses 10 through 31. A very good model of what I call a tough woman. A tough woman. So, you know, in Proverbs 31, verse 10, it gives a title over it in my Bible, the virtuous woman, right? The virtuous woman. Well, what we often do with the word virtue is we associate virtue with the integrity of not having sex until marriage, right? Y'all get that? Very narrow interpretation. It's good, don't get me wrong. There's a kind of mental toughness that's needed there. All mamas and all daddies want their daughters to hold on until the right time. Is that true? But often we take the word virtue and it can be a stigma for a woman if you confine it merely to sexual integrity. You got that? The word virtue is not to be defined in terms of that one slender category. The word literally means strong. Virtuous simply means strong. It means to be wealthy with resources to get the job done. The word is more often translated, rather than virtuous, valiant. Valiant. A valiant woman. A valiant woman. That's amazing, huh? How there's a twist on it in the Hebrew. Because Boaz, which is the hero of the book of Ruth for us, is a man, and his name, by interpretation, means what, ladies? Strength. And in that book, there's a parallel between Boaz and Ruth, where they are both known to be virtuous. Ruth is virtuous, Boaz is virtuous. But Boaz is not virtuous because he keeps his virginity, he's virtuous because he's strong. And Ruth is virtuous because she's strong. Virtue then means strength. I'm going to give you one more textual application for that. Remember the woman with the issue of blood and she was bent over and how she pressed through the crowd to get to the master, and when she touched the hem of his garment, what departed from him? Virtue. And virtue left him, right? Virtue left him. Not virginity. Virtue. I'm trying to teach y'all something here. The word virtue means strength. And what she derived from touching the hem of his garment was the strength of God to heal her of her sickness. And what we are describing in Proverbs 31 is a strong woman. A strong woman. It's an amazing concept. She is strong. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. Listen to these words. Here's what it says. Are you there? Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice. Not today, but tomorrow. Do you see that? Strength and honor are her clothing. What do you mean? It means that her garments, that visible attire by which people know her, is her strength and the honor that comes from her strength. So virtue is the ability for a woman to retain her womanhood, fully execute the calling of womanhood in a visible fashion where men, women, families, cultures can see that she has done her job excellently. She is strong. She maintains her honor because she knows who she is and she knows what she does. Now watch this, watch this. And her joy is not necessarily in today. Her joy is in tomorrow. Her joy is in the future. It's a promise that the virtuous woman, the woman of strength, shall receive her reward. You know what that means? You got to understand delayed gratification. You got to understand how to sow now and reap later. You got to understand how to pay with the pain now in order to receive the prize later. A virtuous woman, a woman of strength, knows how to give in now to get the dividends later. And so what they do when they adopt to be family women, mothers, they are willing to do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 decades if they have to before they receive their reward. See, that's a mindset. You got to be strong when you don't mind being paid 40 years later. Did you get that? You got to be strong when you don't mind being paid not through your children, but through your grandchildren. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Because sometimes the payoff comes through the next line. Because like you have the first line and they mess it up. But God in his mercy does something through the first line because he's still sovereign. And he'll have that first line have another line. And that next line will be more compliant, more subject to you, more influenced by you. You're going to help that next line get through college. You're going to help that next line get that job. And that next line, the grandchildren going to love you like nobody's business. That's the fruit. That's what, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I'm, okay, so we messed up the first 20 years. We're going to work this out with my grandkids. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to get, now our kids don't know this, but me and my wife know this. We're going to hook our grandkids up so that we can get a second chance at getting a few of them straightened out here. And we're going to see the blessing and the reward of delayed gratification. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Very important. Obviously, there's redemptive truth. She knows she's in a what? A battle of purpose, identity, and glory of her God. That's the battle of every mother. She's in a battle. Ladies, tell the truth. Isn't that what you discovered as you were raising your kids? That all hell was breaking loose against you and against your family to destroy every promise of hope that you had for them. I mean, everyone. I mean, everyone. And that because you are called to a battle, you have to armor up every day. You have to clothe yourself in the righteousness of Christ every day. You have to embrace the promises of God every day. You have to believe God is with you every day. You have to trust God every day for your kids. Every day. Especially when you got them in the preteen stage, in the teen stage, in the young adult stage. Because they start morphing. They get crazy. But there's somebody crazier than the kids. Let me go back to my point. Women are strong. That means they can endure. They'll outlast you. My wife is into fitness right now. I mean, we met as athletes. Okay, so we met fighting. So from time to time, we revisit that scenario. That's just how we do it in the Gift Stand House. It's all love. That's all love. But we grew up fighting. We grew up in the hood, okay? Just the way it is. You know, kind of tracks, right? I tell everybody the Loma Prieta earthquake that occurred many years ago, that was a fight between me and Barb. That was a fight between me and my... Y'all don't know. We can get down. Other day, I mean, about a month ago, because we both started, you know, have been training in martial arts for years. Been doing it for years. In fact, I met her in a martial arts tournament. Helped her beat up her first person. That wasn't good for me, though. She come after me now about 500 years after being out of martial arts. You want to start training with me? I need to start sparring again. I said, no. No. You said, you ain't going to get me on the bad side of you. See, I'm smart now. I was dumb then. We fight growing up because we are trying to maintain our identities and we don't know how to do it in a complementary fashion. Am I making some sense? Until God gives us wisdom along those lines. Well, God has caused me and my wife to survive. Do you know why? Because she's strong. Our women are strong. Brothers, listen, if your wife's still with you, that's the point. Please understand that. Strong. The next word is what? Simple. Now, it takes a long time to learn this. Usually, you have to be out of the house before you figure this out about women, particularly when they're mothers. They operate out of basically two principles when they have come into seasoned motherhood. Are you ready? The first one is this. I'm only telling you once. I'm only telling you once. You really, watch this now. Watch this. You are tempting your moms when you go to acting like they weren't clear the first time. Especially some of our mothers. They really want you to, if you want to win points with your mama, get it the first time. Because they're not into telling you 3 and 4 and 5 times. They'll do that with you when you're 5, not 15. 5, not 15. And definitely not 25. They want you to get it, and then they want you to get out the way. Because they're busy. That's how simple women are. I've learned that. Barb will tell me something, I will catch it out of the air, and I'll go work with it and decipher it, T.
because I got to get it right before I respond. I'm not going to respond until I get it right. And if I don't think I got it right, I'm not responding. Because she ain't playing no more. She's simple. We call that simple. Simple. I told you. Now get out of my way because I'm busy. And that's a great relationship. Because sometimes we can beat around the bush with stuff. Older women don't really want you beating around the bush. Really? Am I telling the truth? We really don't want you beating around the bush. You can do that at 19 when you're petting and cute and the hormones is kicking in. You can beat around the bush. But at a certain age, stop. I told you once. Now they're going back to their files and wondering, is he still slow? Is he still slow? I'm sure now some of his behavior traits he got from his daddy. That's why he's slow like that. It really frustrates him because they're simple. They're simple. Really good relationships between men and women, especially husbands and wives, is when the husband understands their wives are simple and don't really want all of that old, that mess that go on. Simple, simple. But they're also sophisticated. I know that seems like an oxymoron, but you would be wrong if you didn't think women were sophisticated. So what do I mean by sophisticated? I mean they are coy. Y'all know what coy is? In the hood, it's like slick, but it's not. I don't want to use that word for our sisters, but they're coy. It takes some work to get coy. Because women think faster than men. As a general rule, they think, and so they're a few feet ahead of you, a few yards ahead of you, and they are calculated because they're coy. You guys are. You're calculated. You're calculated. So to be sophisticated is to be coy, calculated, and therefore, for men, you guys are complex. Now, you better mark this, because if you're at the point of trouble in your relationship, that's where the man is stuck, because of the complexity of the woman. The woman is complex. That means that we don't understand them effectively enough for them to know that we know what they know the moment that they say it. I don't know if that made any sense. You understand what I'm saying? But I always get this funny feeling when I'm with my wife, and I think this is true. I think Barb thinks that I didn't get it. That's what I say. I'm talking to myself. I ain't saying it to her. I'm talking to myself now. Just work with me. I think Barb thinks I didn't get it. I probably didn't, but I'm not going to let her know I didn't get it. Stay with me for a second. Stay with me, because I only want you for a few more minutes. This is, is it true? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to solve the puzzle in our head before we respond, because we want to at least appear to be smart as you guys are. But because you guys are coy and complex and complicated, they say, somebody said fast. I'll go with that. There's another C here that I want to add. This is not going to be politically correct, but it's true. Mothers are crazy. Right. Crazy. That's the hood term. Crazy. 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 No, it's true. You guys are crazy. Because there's no way. We try to figure out why you do what you do, and the only conclusion we can draw, we won't tell you. She crazy. She crazy. It's just crazy. We won't tell you that. Now, because I've been married long enough, I know that you already know we drew that conclusion about you. Because frequently my wife will say, now I know you think I'm crazy. Barbara, I didn't say that. I did not say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say it. I did not say it. I was thinking it all along. I did not say it. Crazy. But see, the crazy element is rooted in a sophistication of complexity and coyness that God made them in order for them to survive. This is what makes them strong. Woman of the month for me. The mother of the month. You know who the mother of the month is for me? Mother Baltimore. Anybody know Mother Baltimore? With the yellow jacket on? Mother Baltimore! Woo! I was so glad when I saw that on public TV. I was so glad when I saw Mother Baltimore handle her business on public TV. I was so glad. I said to myself, now me and my brothers would be in jail for that, right? Our brothers would be in jail for that, but our sisters can get away with it. That mother would not allow her chimpanzee. You got it? She would not allow her chimpanzee to go out there and be part of the multitude and act a fool and get a camera on him and mess up his chances out of education. Now, she handled her business in the public unmitigated. Did y'all see it? Unmitigated. She handled her business. She told him once or twice, remember? She really only meant to tell him once. He messed up by acting like he didn't get it. So all he did was let the army out. He let the army out. And she went after that boy like nothing. Did she wail on him? Wail on him. I went to worshiping at that time. Now that's the word fearful. Back in Psalm 139, that's the word fearful. You're wonderfully made and you're fearfully made. See, and she called him while he was a chimpanzee, because we have them and they're little bitty monkeys, cute. The boys are little monkeys, cute. But I told you they're going to grow up to be gorillas, right? And once they're a gorilla, you can't do nothing with them but go get your Smith & Wesson. Right? That's all you can do? That's all you can do? Because either they're going to obey you or they're going to die. You have that right, mama. Honor your mother and your father. See, in the long ago, parents had an opportunity to let them know, I'll put you down. See, so there were lines drawn, boundaries drawn. Respect was established. The idea of hitting your mama. See, that was one of the thoughts where you, if you're thinking like that, get an Amtrak ticket, take a ride to another country for a while and go see a doctor. Because if she actually even get a hint of that thought, see the sophistication going into crazy mode, right? I want you to follow me. She handled that brother so well, I was so happy. I said, Lord, there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. This is how we handle the kids. I said, this is how you do it. And she wasn't ashamed when they put the cameras on her and asked her, what is all that about? It's about her loving her boy and telling him she's still his mama. What authority did he have to go out there and ask the fool? None. If his mama didn't give him permission to do it, he doesn't have permission to do it. She clothing him, feeding him, providing for his school and education. He has no authority but that which is permitted to him by his parents. I know this is blowing synapses in the room right now by you young college students. I know you think you can do what you want to, but you can't do what you want to. Watch this now. You can't do what you want to until you can pay for what you want to do. When you can pay for what you want to do, then you can do what you want to. But as long as you rolling up in your mama house, she run the show. And the daddy will always keep the pistol oiled, clean, arm. Do you understand that? Mothers are crazy. But see, she was smart enough, coy enough, sophisticated enough to know I better beat him while he's a chimpanzee. Because when he's a gorilla, can't do nothing with it. But shoot him or give him over to the system. Give him over to the system. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Mother of the month. And watch this. After all of the hell that our mothers go through, they're still standing. We thank God for our mothers, don't we? They're still standing. After all the hell they go through, still standing. We leave home, go do all the mess we do, and we fondly think about going back home to mama. We fondly think about when we give her a call, because she's a point of stability
for us, a point of reference for us. This is true when that relationship is healthy. It's true because God made her that way. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? We are to value them, therefore, in the depths of our hearts, because they are a reflection of the wisdom of God, a combination of strength and tenderness that the whole world needs. Do you hear me? The whole world needs a combination of strength and tenderness. And so we thank God for our mothers today. Amen. Amen.